Festival various groups on Friday evening, where they had the boat festival. Many families came together and they walked around with the pole, reading the duties on the boat around us. Many families around the world, young children, old people, and much people, everybody, and family workers took the duties for a boat ride. That was a feature I noticed of that festival. Thank you. And then, on Friday afternoon, there was a tremendous and beautiful expertly executed beauty dresser with new outfits, flower decorations, which we can still see to some extent. But it just fills my heart with gratitude to see such an outpouring of emotion on the part of devotees in executing the service. There's nothing but extra overtime that went into planning, creating, decorating, finally presenting the darshan of Sri Sri Radha Sri Sangha. And there are a group of dedicated pujaris that deal with it. So that was beautiful. And a whole other group of pujaris that the Abhishek. And how many different groups of Brahmin devotees do you have in Rabbi Hashem Sunday to try out to live in different ways? I think Brahmin Vandipur made the comment that the vote of my gratitude most when he said that it's not that you're just pouring substances, juices on the deities, but you're actually sharing your love by bathing the deities. I think that was a very heartwarming observation of all. And then, of course, the kirtan, both my own and everyone, from what I understand, it went to at least 10:30 last night. The outpouring of love and devotion becomes a sign of holy name. I think it's unique in religious practice around the world. Many other religions have dance and sing as part of their worship. But the intensity and the duration of kirtan worshiping the lordships here at the temple just yesterday and evokes the sentiment of gratitude. In my service, I've looked at festivals like we had in the last several days and tried to gauge how successful they were in terms of management and that everything went nicely. It's one way to look at a festival, but sometimes if that's your only point of view, you miss the devotion. So, thank you. So, now having that burden on the hunger, but being able to see the devotion evoked gratitude in my heart. So, what else was a special occasion? Worshiping for it every year. And praying hard into it. Not just on that day, but well, there's 364 other days of the year that make my lesson very special for you. So, I've sincerely meant everything I'm saying, but I'm also saying it because It's an introduction to what I am to speak about this evening. And to begin that, we go to Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, text number 15. Sarvashyacharam hrishanivishto Matasvatyabhavaparivancha Padashyacharavavahamabhajo Padantikamiraidhavacharam to people in the chat. Translation of Hope of the Zenobis, Shri Prabhupada. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And while the Vedas, I am to be known, indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Report. The Supreme Lord is situated as Prabhupada in everyone's heart. It is from him that all activities are initiated. The living entity forgets everything of his past life, but he has to act according to the direction of the Supreme Lord, who is witness to all his work. Therefore, he begins his work according to his past deeds. Required knowledge is supplied to him, and remembrance is given to him, and he forgets also about his past life. Thus the Lord is not only all-pervading, he is also localized in every individual's heart. He awards the different fruitive results. He is worshipable not only as the impersonal Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but and the localized Paramatma, but as a form of the incarnation of the Vedas as well. The Vedas give right directions to people so they can properly know their lives and come back to Godhead, back to home. The Vedas offer knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, and Krishna and his incarnation as Vyasadeva is the compiler of the Vedanta Sutra. The commentation on the Vedanta Sutra by Vyasadeva in the Srimad Bhagavatam gives real understanding of Vedanta Sutra. The Supreme Lord is so full that for the deliverance of the conditioned soul, he is the supplier and digester of foodstuff, the witness of his activity, and the giver of knowledge in the form of the Vedas and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Shri Krishna, the teacher of the Bhagavad Gita. He is worshipable by the conditioned soul. Thus, God is all good. God is all merciful. So I'll stop there for now. Make a few comments. Om Gyanatamina Shagaranjana Shalakaya Chakshunga Tamyena Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha. When I was having all this realization about gratitude and this mention, I couldn't help but remember, and probably Krishna giving me the remembrance, I remember a very dear devotee of our community who passed away several years now. Mother Adriana was her name. She was from the Shambhu Sea and came down here, disciple Bhakti Tirtha Swami, came down to Arunachal to spend her final years with us in this community. Every time that I would encounter Adriana, I would ask her how she was doing, she gave me the same response. I think that one of the responses that she gave to you as well. Blessed by the best, it's probably another one. But the one I'm thinking about is, I ask her how are you, Adriana. So, I'm grateful. She said, I'm grateful. Well, at the time, I took that as a routine statement. Certainly, a religious person that's not a full life is grateful. She was in a lot of pain in her old age. So it's something to be grateful to her as well. But if you know your own journey, you know there was something wrong. You were talking in your eye. So she would say, I'm grateful. It seemed to me that she meant something wrong. But there was more to it than I'm getting around all night. I've been around all the rest of the day. And that's kind of things that I'm grateful for. So I wonder, what is gratitude? What does she mean when she says she's grateful? What do you mean when she says we're grateful? Important question. His name is Ramana Swami. He recently read something from him about what is gratitude. I think it was really instructive. So I want to share with him this evening. Pretty short. What is gratitude? Here's what Ramana Swami says gratitude is. Gratitude is a divine virtue that is so important that other divine virtues could not exist without it. Spirituality grows like a seed, like seeds within our heart. The goodness of our lifestyle protects that seed. Our spiritual practice of chanting God's names, reading scriptures, doing seva for God and others, waters the seed. But gratitude is what makes the ground fertile so that all those other virtues will actually have its maximum effect. A fertile soil allows the seed to grow through its roots, deep roots, and grow very strong. Without a grateful heart, for that, a grateful heart is essential. So he's defining an enabling attitude. Gratitude is an enabling attitude. And if you have it, then blessing others, all other spiritual qualities in your life. So I like that. I think, yes, that's what it means to be grateful. Another sensation in you, to find out other, deeper, not necessarily deeper, but other definitions of what is gratitude. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he talks about gratitude also. He says that there are generally four ways in which people take up the practice of worshiping God in their life. Out of fear for satisfying material aspirations, out of a sense of duty, and out of personal genuine attraction to the Lord. So he categorizes gratitude as this in the category of out of a sense of duty, one feels grateful for the creation, for what one has. And one begins worship in that way. In other words, back to the dark or snow, that gratitude is one of the first symptoms we feel when we want to worship the Supreme Lord. But is there more? Is there more to this virtue of gratitude? In this kingdom, we have a discussion that I have with my wife. Generally, when things come out, we have a discussion with my wife. But she also happens to be a little more in Sanskrit, and so we ask her, what's the Sanskrit word for gratitude? Because we know that she studied, she had those books, the experiment was created at the original Sanskrit, the Bible, the transliteration, the English translation, the specific meaning of words becomes part of that type of analysis. And we can go deeper by studying different aspects. So I ask her, what about you, Dasa? What's the Sanskrit word for gratitude? Well, first I ask her, does Krishna speak about gratitude in Bhagavad Gita? Does he use that term, gratitude? Apparently not. But is there a Sanskrit word for gratitude? Of course there is. And I think you'll find that's interesting, because it provides us maybe a peek into what Indrani was sort of keeping to herself when she said, I'm grateful. So the Sanskrit word for grateful is kritagya. Kritagya. And you recognize just from interaction with Prabhupada's books, kriti means doing something. Something is done, kriti. And gya means to know, knowledge, gyana. Okay. So kritagya means grateful. Now let's think about that for a moment. To know what's been done. can be translated. To know what's been done. And if you know what someone did for you, or what someone, or what the Lord did in putting on his festivals last week, and if you know what was done, then you feel some gratitude for all that has been done. And this is why I choose these verses from Daniel 15, this verse 15:15. Because in 15:15 we have a view of Krishna informing Arjuna of what is being done for him, what is being done for our living beings. We often don't think about it. Prabhupada says, from the time you were born in this world, you're debtor to those that have come before you and prepared the place where you live and you're born to. You have those that have cultivated knowledge that have created the atmosphere in which you live. Something has been done. Something has been done. So, what has been done is an important part of gratitude. And what do we have to be grateful for? I'm talking personally. And Brian was talking personally. I'm grateful. She has some secret. She was experiencing something. I believe she knows what has been done. I'm grateful for her. I'm grateful for wasn't that I'm grateful that I'm glad to see what God told us today. But I'm grateful to be a devotee of Krishna. I'm grateful to be this close to the Lord of life and I can transit to Krishna's association. And if you have that faith, and say that you're grateful, if you understand that in fact, in truth, that yes, at this junction between life and death, I have an opportunity that's been given to me. It's already done. Srila Prabhupada came, he gave a holy name, it's already done. Have to take it up and we get the full measure that he gave to us. So what are some of the things that he's done? So that's what you know, who the son of his throne took to the Lord of the Lord. He says that for me come knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. I think the purport has some striking language. It says that the Supreme Lord is so full that for deliverance of the conditioned souls, he is the supplier and digestion of food stuff. We can't even eat. We're not being grateful. I think the Christians imagine they feel some of this gratefulness. And this new brother now did is true Christian. Thanksgiving, when we were visiting, he would do the blessing. And the first thing that he came out of his mouth at the blessing was, thank you, Lord. Because he knew that he said, Krishna is a supplier and the digester of food. That's why we make an offering to the deities. That's why we that's part of deity worship. It gives us a chance to know what has been done. And in thanks and gratitude to respond to the Lord. So, what are some of the things that we can say that have been done for us and that we need to be grateful for? Can you bless me? Maybe from your new life
cycle? I was just saying that Prabhupada created all these temples all over the world so that practically wherever we go, we have family, you know. We know what to expect and get some, have some shelter.
What most people factor in when they try to have family in the world. Accommodation, gas, dining, cost. You go, you have a family already, it's already done. Stay in the ashram. It's a little convenient place, more possible. Prabhupada did that. He was criticized also. Now he built a guest house first. Because where will the devotees, my disciples stay? If I don't create a place for them. So he's already done. He's taking care of us and providing for us. We need to be grateful for that. Yes, Patricia?
I was thinking of knowledge that was given to us by Srila Prabhupada Krishna, so that when bad things happen or some situation, we have understanding of what's going on rather than just blaming others or, you know.
How valuable that is, thank you, Richard. How valuable that is when all people around us are wearing their heads because of something, understanding how this material world works, how we can get knowledge. It's described in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Kasipu, actually, it's telling a story to a stammerer who slows their hearts. Because his brother in the election had been killed. And so he told a story about a king, I think his name was Jagannath or something. And a small boy came on the battlefield with all the wives of the queen and all their dead husbands, and he spoke to his little marriage that you're referring to, and how that helped so much in that situation. So, yes. Prabhupada gave us knowledge, so our lives here in this material world are better off. Anybody else? Yes.
Prabhupada gave us a transcendental understanding by dint of one's own experiences in life. He can understand what another is going through and act accordingly.
Yes, and thank you for your comment. I will bring out a very important fact about what has been done. Because he asked us to do it also, to take the law and go out and give people. He came and he gave. He simply asked us to do as he's done. So we do even that way. Help others. Thank you.
Anybody else?
We have another. Yes, please.
I love how Prabhupada, even very early on, 1966, he had the idea to record himself. You know, he wanted a recorder. Even sometimes it was just a couple of people in the room and he'd record it. And then it became that every time Prabhupada speaks, you know, record it. And I just like the gift of being able to hear the sound vibration of a pure devotee. You know, like other religions and traditions have their founders and kind of powerful. Maybe it was long ago, but they actually have that sound vibration now to be able to listen to. I feel like it's such a blessing.
Mm-hmm. It's a very good point. Prabhupada gave us the practice of recording here. Because he knew. He knew how valuable that is. And so, what do we know? We know nothing. But he knew himself and we're happy. And we're grateful. But you know, the thing is about all these things that you were mentioning about being grateful for, they also build up. They reach a crescendo in our experience, which is not just gratitude. I hear you back there, because even in your deathbed in the hospital, I talk to him, you don't understand me, I'm grateful. It becomes a method to express our love for God. It's not just convenience or out of etiquette that we feel obliged, we feel grateful. But actually it's an opportunity for us to go from worship, go to worship and surrender. We find that in Bhagavad Gita also. Similar verse to 15:15, this one's Bhagavad Gita 18:61. Prabhupada says in the verse, "The Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities. You are seated as in a machine made of the material energy." Prabhupada's purport, I think, is very instructive, because it takes us to the progression of coming to expressing love through this gratitude. And his purport says, "The living entity is not independent. One should not think himself independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual is always under the Lord's control. Therefore, one's duty is to surrender." And that is an injunction of the next verse. So we surrender, we worship, we love. That's the prescription laid out in front of us. Again, in the last days, Prabhupada said, "Your love for me will be shown in the holy corporate after all day." So he was expecting that love would be done, that we would love him, continue to love him, and the practical way to show it is gratitude, cooperation. How does it feel at least this close to such a festival as we had with him last time? The next time we have an opportunity to do some service in one of the areas that was so expertly presented during this week, past weekend, that I was saying, "No, I don't want to do it." And how should we jump on that opportunity? Can I help the baby choose? Yes, I can do this. Can I help with the cooking in the kitchen? Yes, I can do this. Can I help with taking down to set up for the festival? Yes, should leap from our hearts out of love. That's gratitude. That's gratitude. So fortunately, we have opportunities to continue this process. If we're not there yet, guess what? The patience of the giver is more than we can expect, more than we deserve. Patiently waiting for us to surrender out of love. So these are some thoughts on gratitude. Does anybody have any reflections, comments, questions,
Roger? I just wanted to say you were talking about the festival. school yesterday, and it reminded me of the spiritual world must be like that. That everywhere there's someone thinking of Krishna, Radha Krishna, and how to serve. You know, at every department, I mean, I went around to different places to do some little thing, and there was happy service going on in each place. And I just was thinking, that's what the spiritual world is like. There's thousands of gopis serving Krishna. You know, Chintamani Prakata said, once you get Krishna. I was just thinking how wonderful that is. And there is gratitude that that's, like you said, you're hearing the Hare Krishna mantra everywhere, and fire sacrifice, devotees serving on the altar, people still cooking in the kitchen. It was just such a spiritual atmosphere. That's what the spiritual world's all about.
I think you're 100% correct. Yes, that's what the spiritual world is all about. Thank you for this expression.
Along the lines of Mother Richard, I was thinking something similar when I was in the kitchen, and I said to one of the other cooks, I said, wow, in the spiritual world, it will be like this every day. So everyone is supposed to be enthusiastically serving, and just let me pick some flowers, and, you know, watching where the flower goes, and so it was just amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Vandaka always tells Vandaka that it's like the altar expands. There are 13, 15 people on the altar. There's that big kunda. There are all the offerings. And it's very amazing how everything can fit on that small altar. She always says that. And I really want to thank Mother Ruchira and Mother Akruti and Mother Varuni and all that kitchen crew that works tirelessly so many days in advance this night. I'm really grateful. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you, Mother Ruchira.
He does sparkling.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, I was just thinking about what she just did, the importance of verbalizing the gratitude between the devotees in general and in the community as we go through the world. It is so nice. And it's not that we want to be recognized. We do want to be recognized, actually, by Krishna, but when it's recognized, the devotional service kind of gets a booster that it's not, you know, it's not for nothing, but it's being accepted and genuinely appreciated. So I just want to mention that importance of verbalizing the gratitude between each other. Something she just did.
That's very good point. I think I'm right for it. I think I read or heard someplace where Gopis were speaking and they said, oh, she's serving so nicely. They're observing and saying, how nice. Let's give her this opportunity. So, you want to speak? I mean, human beings are. Notice the good work of others. The guaranteed devotional service is so great that if anyone does even just a little bit of service, it changes the course of their entire existence for millions of years. So how glorious it is. What kind of service someone does? Any nice comments before we end?
Yes, sticking with your definition of gratitude in Sanskrit, kritagya, to know what was done for you. It just helped me remember one time I was in New York and I was just chanting around in the temple and Ramana Swami came in and he said to me, I was just this chanting distracted, you know? And he came up to me and he said, if you could just see the value and the beauty of what you have right now, you know, you're sitting here in the temple looking at the deities, you're chanting the name of Krishna, he said, if you could just see it, you'd be rolling on the ground in ecstasy. And so he told me, It was just like, it was a wake up, you know, for me. I was just chanting, kind of thinking about who knows what. But he walked in and just, you know, he's seeing the value of what we have. It takes a kind of realization to really feel gratitude. You have to really see the value and what was done, and like you said, see, to know what was actually, what's being done for you right now. And I just got to remember that when you gave that definition of what it means, you know, gratitude.
Thank you for the comment. Okay, well, Srila Prabhupada, thank you.